USA Chat with Saad, October
22nd, 2024. Hi, Saad. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's chat.
Welcome, everybody.
Tonight we have 7 questions. With your permission, I will read the first 6, and then Ida would like to ask her own question.
Okay, go ahead.
Questioner asks, may you please elaborate on the following quote from Psi Center, September 8, 2024. What is grace? Perfection in imperfect situations.
In other words, we look at the problem or a situation in a according to the memory and our the way we perceive pleasant and unpleasant. And the appearance of something can be very imperfect. But yet, the base of that imperfection is perfection. And if our attention and conviction goes to the perfect, the all-present perfection, that the picture of imperfection no longer either has a hold on us or it will disappear, just like a bad thought when you don't look at it. So that's what it means.
Question two. On a recent talk from October 14th, 2024, you said, if you want to make something repeated, dislike it. If you want something to be repeated, like it. Then it goes to disliking it. I don't like it is a repeated thought. The questioner asks, how can we live these words daily and etch them in stone for ourselves?
This I get asked so often. It's not that you need to remedy your thoughts, is to dismiss your thoughts. The mistake that is being made even after many years of practice is that we still cannot let go of our effort. And yet, when you put no effort of conversing with your mind or lacking or disliking, or even not conversing with your mind, you're in a state of your being and mind dies down. So we all have to remember and give understanding of what I'm trying to say. We are not going to remedy a repeated thoughts or avoid embracing it or pushing it away. We simply stay. We simply find a separation between a thought and the one that can receive it or not. It is a very, very natural state, and we all have to get used to this natural state. And it's the hardest things at time for people to understand or stay in a natural state. Because this life is so driven into all sorts of corners and all sorts of running in the mind. It's like turning off the water in your faucet in the kitchen. When the water is running, you don't need to find out how you can not waste this water? Should I put a bucket under it? Should I do this and that? Once you're convinced that there is a knob that can turn it off by turning it a certain way, then you don't even give it a thought. That's how our approach should be as far as understanding the stay. Where is, you're not debating with yourself and trying to find exactly what that means. What it really means that when the repeated thoughts come, consciously look at it, it goes to silence, or consciously transcend it by bringing your energy downward. That's what it means. But consciously, otherwise is a pretend practice. Go ahead, Radha.
Thank you. Question 3. The questioner asks about the following quote from the U.S. chat, September 3rd, 2024. When you are in silence, you are with the formless self. When you need the form, you are with your own formful self, because it is all the self. So even when your attention is on your guru's body, it is really on your own reality. The questioner asks, can you please help me have a more profound understanding of this quote?
Just because our attention goes to the thinking or emotion or concern for our body does not mean that we still are not the reality. Does not mean that we got separate from the source of our being. So this is what it means, that the self is always the self, and it does not go through transformation or any type of time-bound, you know, quality. So the only difference that it happens is that when the soul is born in these realms, when the soul takes a body, it has a choice to be with the formless self or formful self, depending on where the attention is. And most likely is with the lower self or the body self, because it is in the body. So bottom line, the main thing to understand is that all of these shapes and forms that we see, they have only one self, one reality, one beingness. It's like the body has one beingness, and because of that beingness in one's body, all the cells are working, all the organs are working, the brain is working. So that energy is keeping all the physical form alive. The same applies in a bigger scale. There is one self that we call I, and we share that I in a physical realms. You say, I am. I say, I am. Everybody point to themselves as I, without knowing that we are not separate I. That's all I can say about that.
Thank you, Seth. Question 4. In your presence, having silence and being is much more doable for me. I feel hopeful and happy. How can I seek physical closeness to my guru without being a burden to you or bothersome?
That love or that yearning that one feels is because of the way you feel around me. And who does not want to feel good? But at the same time, when you are away from me, let the love burn the residue in you. Don't be in a hurry to find a way to get close and feel the peace. Let that love from far make you more one-pointed, one-concentrated, and also to force you to do some soul searching, so some more reading, some more contemplating, some more writing in your journal. Yeah, I'm just telling you what I used to do. I still do. Go ahead, Radha.
Question 5. The questioner asks, how can I benefit from the following wisdom? The dream is in the mind, yet you are the base. Without you, the mind and creation cannot exist. My dear one, you are that. You are the object of your own infatuation. You are the beloved, the love, and the lover. This is from Most Precious, Book, Question 66.
By silence. When one goes to silence, and we experienced it in a Sai Center the other day on Sunday, in that quietness and solitude, everything vanishes. And when you get the taste of that and you realize that that is your true nature, then you can play and live through your physical realms at ease, knowing that that which you are is untouched and available until the realization is full. So I would say silence throughout the day, just quieting the mind and just being, just be. And through that state of being, we get knowledge, we get wisdom, we get clarity. Go ahead, Radha.
Question 6. What is the true meaning of perfection in your teaching?
Perfection is a word that does not mean what usually does. Perfection means nothingness, means no duality. I only say perfection to point the fact that there is no imperfection in it. But then when there is no imperfection in something, why do you need perfection? Why would you even have a knowledge of it? This existence of opposite makes me have to say perfection. You know, when there is only existence, why would I want to say one existence? But it's just for the sake of pointing to something that is totality. Sometimes we use a word that we cannot take it as usual. So perfection here is, when I say you're perfect, means don't worry about your defect, because who you are is devoid of both. Just imagine if we were not taught good and bad, ugly and beauty, just for one instant, wouldn't your mind be empty and content and peaceful? If you dropped it all, whatever you learned, ever, and yet lived in the body, as normal as any other human being, without a contradiction, judgment or opinion. So by staying, this is what happens to us more and more and more. Because we're emptying the mind that was supposed to be emptied and be run by the higher mind. Just imagine for an instant that you are not under the spell of good and bad. All you're learning, just let it all go. Let it all go, all the judgment, all the memory. Just let it all go. Just settle in your perfection. So stay meditation or stop meditation is to no longer be under the spell of good and bad, because we are not paying any attention of mixing. And we're emptying our consciousness, and therefore the higher mind or the divine mind comes into action visibly. Where we lead an intuitive life without knowing even it is intuitive. It is not a limited way of thinking anymore, because the junk is out, the memory, the incidents, and all of that. So day to day, since this is not our life, we collected during many incarnations, God knows how many, wrong knowledge. Now by staying, we're spitting it out. In other words, we are finding room in our existence. And that is the true spirituality, where you're not collecting information and you're paying attention only to those things that point you to something expansive. So saying you are perfect or we are perfection should point you to a place that duality has no room anymore, because duality has bad and good. If you're finished with your questions, Radha, let a flower, I can ask.
My question is that after each retreat, I'm constantly the person asking you the final question from Most Precious. How can I leave you and this serene environment and go back to my normal day-to-day life? At this time and at this point in my life, how can I carry over to my current life what I witnessed from you, your wisdom, and the up-close witnessing of how you move about in each moment without it being a mental push or pull? Thank you.
Well, Most Precious also answers that, and I would refer you to that. As someone asked in the Most Precious, how can we leave you and how can we be able to hold on to the truth that was spoken past three nights? And then the woman gives a sword of truth, to eliminate what is not true. So maybe you can take the answer to that question and make it a living exercise. We got a few minutes. If anybody has another question that they just came up with or sharing, that would be great. By the way, we took a few days, a few of us, and we went to Santa Fe. And we had some recording, so Mira is working on it. I believe it's a 5 different day and recording, and she will post it, and Amira, let everyone knows on the Slack, on this channel, when you do each one of them and where they can find it.
Thank you.
Angela and Gopala, I haven't heard from you for a long time. Can you just come forward, and even if you have to say one word?
Hi, Sajan. This is Angela.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to hear your voice. Me and Gopala is here. He can talk himself if he wants to.
Good night. I'm glad to hear from you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hello, Sajan.
Hello, Gopala. How are you?
Good.
Good, good.
Yeah.
With your blessing, I'm doing well.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that.
Angela and I, at night time, after meditations and stuff like that, we chat and talk and, you know, understanding and stuff like that. So that is going well as well. And I want to, from the bottom of my heart, to thank you for all your teaching, your grace, and your love that you have showered us.
And if I may, Sajjan, I wanted to say that all these times, in the last few years and on, grace of your teaching is helping me very much. This is the only thing I have to hold on to, and I will not let go. And I feel like in this life, this is a chance I have been given, especially in the last few years. And I want you to know that this is very important, beside what it looks like and beside what I go through because of it. And for this being, for me, for this body, it's the challenges. Just wanted to say I'm really appreciated, because it's only with your teaching that I can hold on. Thank you so much, Sajjan. I love you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I send both of you love, and I am so glad that you both have satsang with each other, that you use the strength of truth to deal with day-to-day life is the best way. And you are right, we all have a chance in this lifetime. When I met my guru so many 40 years ago, I felt the same way. I felt like, okay, this life seems to be a life that I really need to pay attention at, and it's not going to be a routine life like any other lives. Anyway, it was very nice hearing from you. I send my love to all the people everywhere, Atlanta and Reno, wherever you are. Namaste.
Namaste.